This episode of the Rock Solid Podcast is brought to you by U-Turn Audio. Brilliant sound starting at $199. Everyone deserves a remarkable listening experience, and you'll get it with U-Turn Audio. Check them out at uturnaudio.com.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away,
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me today in the Zoom room for another one of our classic versus episodes, fan favorites, I'm going to say that right now, fan favorites, please welcome from New Jersey, Mr. Dave Festini. How are you doing, Dave?
I am doing well, Pat, and glad to be here for another one of these head-to-head episodes.
Yeah, because we love the hate on the socials, so that's why we do these.
Yeah. It keeps us on our toes.
All right. Now, we're not the only two here, Dave, because somehow this guy got into the mix, and now he's here to stay. He's even bought a mic, because last time he didn't sound as good as he could have, but I think he sounds pretty great today. Please welcome, and I'm going to hopefully say his name correctly, Nice Dave Schneier.
Hey, look at that, Pat. Well done.
Listen to how good you sound, Dave.
Oh, you know who's going to be really happy about this? I think Alexi Lawless is going to be really pleased with this.
Alexi wants the audio to be good. That is for sure. Now, guys, how's your weekend been?
It's pretty good.
Mixed bag.
Friday, right. I worked yesterday.
All right.
Did you get, I'm sensing a look, a change in your look, Pat. Did you get a haircut?
I got a facelift. I did get a haircut. It's funny you should bring that up, Dave. I got it yesterday. I have a little bit of a funny story about that. I hope it's funny. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's sad.
It's always a crapshoot.
When I get my haircut now, what I do is I get a shower and I fix my hair the way I would normally wear it, even though it's longer. And that's why I need a haircut. I walk in to the place ready to go. I say, this is how I wear my hair. Let's just shape it up. That's all I want. So I go to this place, Floyd's. I'm going to give them a shout out, even though this story might break bad. So I go in like that, and it's a new person every time. Sometimes I get the same person, but yesterday I was under the gun. I had to take who I could get. So I walk in, I sit down, a new guy, James. I said, James, this is how I wear my hair. I said, this is where I part it. This is how I wear it.
Do you have product in it?
No product.
Okay, yeah.
No product. I'll tell you why. No product when I get it cut, because I want them to, I like to get my hair cut dry.
Yes.
Whenever they wet it and cut it and then they dry it, it's like, what happened? What is that?
Right.
I don't want to be surprised. So I said, look, they usually do a 6 around the sides and in the back. And then we just shape up the top, make it shorter. But this is how I wear it. And he goes, okay, let me wet it for you. I go, whoa, James. I like my hair cut dry.
Right. No, sir.
And then he says, I'm going to tell you sarcastically. He says, oh, I can cut it dry. I said, okay.
Can you?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, James, doing your job. So it was a little calicky on this side, just like a little, I don't know what, it was weird on this side. He goes, I'm going to wet it all down though. And then I'm going to dry it. And then I'm going to cut it. He goes, so I will be cutting it dry. So I said, okay. I agreed to that. So he wets it down. Then he dries it. Then he cuts it.
It's good that there's a negotiation.
He cuts, he does the 6, trims up the old man eyebrows, does all the things.
Yeah.
So then turns me around. What do you think? Now, at this point, he's parted it on the other side.
Oh, no.
He parted it on the wrong side. So I go, oh, James, I go, the only thing is I don't part my hair on that side. I parted on this side. He goes, are you sure? Yeah, it's my fucking head. I'm pretty sure I know where I parted. So I just said, I go, yeah, James. I go, that when I came in and it was dry, that's where it was parted. And then here's what you never want to hear come out of the hairdresser's mouth. He says, I'm going to have to comp you this haircut today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said,
it doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look bad, Kate. But before I left, I had him, I go, look, I need you to cut it a little bit more so it favors this side. And
right.
then when I came home, it was kind of a disaster. And I said to Pilar, I go, look, I'm going to go in the bathroom. I'm going to wet it. I'm going to do everything I do and we'll see how it looks. So, yeah. So I'm fine with it, but it was free.
Right.
And before I had a job and I would see people every day, I wouldn't have even cared. I would have said, whatever, it's going to grow back in a week. No one's going to see it, but my wife and kid. But yeah, just that phrase, I'm going to have to comp this haircut. It was like, what? Like he didn't say, oh, okay. I can fix it. Let me fix it up. Might be a little shorter than you wanted it, but let me try to. No, none of that. All right.
See, you got
to
go same guy. I had the same guy cutting my hair for 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go same guy.
You got to, you have to wait. If you can wait and say like, they're like, hey, next chair is available.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to wait for Steve.
My guy comes to the house. That was a product what? Of the,
that's
yeah,
a hooker. That's a hooker, Dave. That's not a, that's different. You get
it was a product of the pandemic. He started coming to the house and he just never stopped.
And you only get a cut when Nancy's out of town.
Jesus. Yeah, me and my son, Pat. Yeah, we both.
Well, now you made it creepy.
Two for
me.
One. You made it creepy the minute you said it was a hooker. We were talking about getting our hair cut. You went straight to the
you
gutter.
You said your haircut person. What do you call it? Is it a hairstylist? I know haircut person isn't the right term.
Hairstylist is fine.
Do you wash your hair, Dave, when they come to your house?
Ever? Oh,
no. Not you specifically.
I wash it in the morning. I wash it in the morning, but I don't really do much to it because I know I'm getting a cut later and I don't want him to have to like deal with any product in there.
I get it. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's just riveting stuff.
This is great.
So you got yourself a free haircut and it looks good. So that's a
thank you. I'm okay with it. I'm not angry about it. Okay, here we go.
In the end. Okay.
So, I don't know if did we tease these two albums in the prior episode? I don't know.
I don't believe they have been spoken of. I think they've been mentioned. They've been mentioned online, maybe? I don't know.
So, here's what we're doing today. We're doing Foreigner 4 against Journey's Escape.
Yes.
Now, both of these albums came out in 1981. And let me tell you, very close. Foreigner 4 came out July 3rd, 1981. How badly did they want to release it one day later on the 4th?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it's a holiday. I don't know.
Well, but those were the days with actual release dates where there was a physical release.
So Foreigner 4, July 3rd, 1981. Journey Escape, July 31st, 1981.
Wow.
These two monster classic albums came out within 3 weeks of each other. Foreigner 4 clocks in at 42 minutes, 10 seconds. Journey Escape, 42 minutes, 46 seconds. Perfect length. 10 songs each, 5 on a side. This is Foreigner's Foreigner. Who's Foreigner? That sounds like a band in a kids movie. Foreigner 4, it's their fourth album with Lou Gramm. Journey Escape, the fourth album with Steve Perry. So it's kind of, you know, I'm just trying to make...
Well, but Foreigner, that's a little bit of a stretch. Foreigner, at that point, it only had one singer.
Right, but I'm saying Journey Escape is real. I mean, the Steve Perry era is really... No one listens to those first three. It's really Infinity, Evolution, Departure. And then Escape is kind of their fourth album as a radio hit entity.
Right.
And it's their fourth album with this singular lead vocalist, Steve Perry.
Okay.
All right. Look, yeah, I'm just trying to make it fun, Dave. You don't have to bring it down.
Can I drop a little knowledge here too? Do you guys mind if I just throw one thing in there?
I thought we were just going to keep score, but okay. Go ahead, Dave.
I will certainly do that. But
yeah, go ahead.
Foreigner 4, by the way, was the number one album for 2 weeks in a row. And then Stevie Nicks knocked it out. And then Escape by Journey was the number one album for a week. This is on Billboard. And then Foreigner 4 came back later for like 5 or 6 weeks in a row as the number one album.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Do you have album sales for each one of these?
Album sales for Foreigner 4.
And yet of those three, only one of them not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
6 million copies sold for Foreigner 4 in the U.S.
Pretty great.
And Escape.
I think it's more.
10 million.
Yeah. Diamond. Yeah, Foreigner, they'll get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Probably not this year.
Right. After Mick is dead.
Well, that would be sad. That would be.
It's going to happen.
It's got to happen. It's not going to happen this year because they're not on the ballot. It would have to happen next year. But yeah.
Infuriating.
They deserve it. All right. So here we go. What we do, folks, is we go track for track down the album. Track one versus track one. Track two versus track two. And I start with the album that was released first. So we're starting with Foreigner 4. Track one from that album is a little something called Nightlife. Here we go. All right, Foreigner starting strong with an excellent album opener. They're going to go up against the monster that is the most downloaded song of all time. Don't Stop Believing. Here we go. Now, I'm never going to play it till we get to the chorus on that song because the chorus doesn't happen till the end. It's structured unlike any song that I've ever really heard at that time. Here we go. Head to head. Festini, I'm giving it to you first. You're first.
This is one of those ones where the way we do this gets you into trouble by going track versus track, right? I completely forgot that Don't Stop Believing was the first song on this album. I thought it was I thought it was further along.
Right.
I'm listening to Nightlife. And to me, Nightlife is like one of the best opening tracks ever. You know what's coming, what the rest of the album's going to be like. Great song, great production. But, you know, Don't Stop Believing. Although I think Don't Stop Believing is a strange album opener.
I think it is too.
It's such a great, it's just such a great song. I mean, it's an anthem for a reason, as much as it pains me to do so. Not because it's not a great song, but because I love the song Nightlife, I'd have to go with Don't Stop Believing here.
All right. I love Nightlife. It's just it's a perfect album opener. It rocks. Yep. Again, production by Mutt Lange. It's fantastic. I love it. And even though I didn't think you would pick Don't Stop Believing because of the fact that it's been overplayed so much, but I got to be honest, when it comes on the radio, I still turn it up. I just love it. I love the way it's structured. I love the lyrics.
It's one of those songs that never ever gets old. Never gets old.
Me, yeah. So I got to go Don't Stop Believing also. I mean, I have to.
Yep.
And look, I might like Nightlife almost as much, but it's just, I love
Don't Stop Believing. It's like a tie. It's a tie situation.
It's almost a tie, but I got to go. But neither one of us
disallowed ties, haven't we?
It's only a tie if you pick one and I pick the other, and we both pick Don't Stop Believing. So there we go. All right. Dave, what do you think of our choice? Nice, Dave.
I agree with your choice. Not an easy choice, but I agree.
All right.
How are you doing with keeping track at this point? Okay. Look at that.
Well, look at that little purple post-it. I would expect, you know, nicer paper for an adult.
Well, listen, he blew his budget on the microphone. So
I thought maybe point he would have made like a Word doc with like a nice, I don't know. I know, it's only 20 songs. We'll get through it. All right. If you thought that matchup was interesting, boy, oh boy. Oh my God. Here we go. Let's take it from the top. Foreigner, Jukebox Hero.
Standing in the rain. Head hung low, couldn't get a ticket, it was a sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd, he could picture the scene. Put his ear to the wall, then like a distant scream, he heard one guitar.
Right. The thing about both of these bands is they don't just have like two or three signature songs that they have to play. They have tons in the tens. Yeah. It's crazy. All right. Jukebox Hero now has to go up against Stone in Love.
Oh, no.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth. I do recall those were the best times, most of all. In my head where the blue jean girl, burning love, come once in a lifetime. She found me singing by the river tracks, took me home, we danced. Summer nights are calling, Stone in Love.
I just want to let you know, Jukebox Hero is 4 minutes and 20 seconds. Stone in Love, 4 minutes, 26 seconds. Very close in time. I guess I'm first this time. And Dave, you keep track of that.
On it.
All right. Dave Festini and I, and I've had this conversation before. I've never really liked the song Jukebox Hero on the album. I only really came around to that song in concert. So that one, even when the album came out, I never really enjoyed it. I don't know why. I just didn't. It's a nice story song. I like it. But for me, Stone in Love, I mean, it goes from Don't Stop Believing. Stone in Love takes it up a notch, I think. I mean, I just Stone in Love, that guitar, the bass line. I never think of Ross Valerie song in a Journey song. But man, what a killer bass line in Stone in Love. And Steve Perry just sings his ass off. And so I have to go Stone in Love. It's not even a contest for me.
This is painful for me. I love Jukebox Hero. And you're right. We have had this discussion. And you're not the only person that I've heard that thinks the Jukebox Hero is a little too on the nose. It's got a little bit of cheese to it. I completely disagree. I love Jukebox Hero. I love the structure of it. I love that it's a story song. I, too, have heard it live and love it live even more. But Stone in Love is what it's quite possibly my favorite Journey song of all time.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's so great. Just like it feels like summer, that song. You know?
I got a chill when it started to play.
Yeah, it is a song that just emits, you know, emotion, and you can feel it. Never thought this would happen, that I'd go to, again, I made a point of not looking at the albums coming because I wanted to go into this with a fresh perspective. I never would have thought I would have come out of the gate with two Journey choices, but I'm going with Stone in Love.
I mean, I was in, I'm older than you guys. So I was in 11th grade when these albums came out. And I mean, this is summer. This is, you know, going summer before my senior year. I mean, in the heat with your blue jean girl. I mean,
yeah.
She pulls me down and in Clover, we go round. Hey.
All right. Take it easy.
Coming up. Hold on.
That's a family show.
Okay. Track three from Foreigner.
We didn't get a
No, I'm Dave sorry, Dave. What's the total right now? Yes.
That's all right. This is an easy one so far. Journey out with a commanding lead, 4-0.
And what about you, nice Dave? What do you think of our choice?
I agree 100%. Jukebox Hero is fine. I think it's overplayed. Whereas Stone in Love is a fantastic song that actually doesn't get enough airplay, where it gets outplayed by so many other Journey songs.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey folks, Pat Francis here from the Rock Solid Podcast. I want to talk to you a little bit about U-Turn Audio. Let me tell you something. I own a couple of these Orbit turntables. Brilliant sound, simple design, pure analog experience. They come in a multitude of colors. They look cool. They sound even better. You got to get one of these. And you know what? If you want to make your listening experience even better, I recommend plugging in a pair of their Ethos powered speakers. Look, the turntable has a built-in preamp. All you do is plug these things in, turn them on, drop the needle, and go. Old school analog power that fits on your bookshelf. Ultra-low distortion, amplification meets classic speaker design. We are talking about Ethos, high-fidelity stereo speakers that deliver immersive analog sound. The link is in the description, but it's easy, uturnaudio.com.
Now back to the show.
Let's go with Foreigner 4, track 3, Break It Up. Here we go, a deep cut.
Thank you.
All right, Foreigner with Break It Up. They're going to go head-to-head with, I believe this was the first single from Escape. This is Who's Crying Now?
Caught on one-way street, the taste of bittersweet. Love will survive somehow, some way. One love feeds the fire, one heart bears desire, one love is crying out.
All right, both of those are breakup songs, I believe. Foreigner rocks with theirs, and Journey gives us a mid-tempo, not quite a ballad, not quite a rocker. Dave Festini, what's your choice on these two?
Piece of cake on this one. Who's Crying Now teeters on yacht rock to me. It's right there. It could go the other way. You know, and the Foreigner song is just another rocker. Love it. Love the production on it. Not that Who's Crying Now is necessarily a bad song, but it, like I said, it's the certainly the weaker of the two, in my opinion. I go Foreigner with Break It Up.
I will weigh in now. I love both. I like both songs, but I got to go with my friend Dave Festini on this. Break It Up is a way better song. Also, if you're listening to, for me, when I would listen to Foreigner 4 and this would come in after a song I don't like, it just seemed to, you know, Break It Up. It's just so great. I didn't, I always thought Who's Crying Now wasn't even a good choice as the first single on that album. I don't think that was very representative.
It's risky. Sometimes I wonder, you know, would that whole process fascinates me, right? When they're choosing singles. What gets, but, and I think it's a situation where they listen to the album as a whole and they think there are so many hits on this album.
Right.
Let's start off with one of the weaker ones because we know, you know, it's like a batting lineup almost, you know, where, you know, we have somebody, it's going to bat cleanup and we're going to be able to get four great singles out of this. So.
And I do want to give a nod to Ross Valerie again, another great bass line in Who's Crying Now. Wow.
Yep.
Nice, Dave. What do you think of our pick?
Overall, I agree. Who's Crying Now is fine. I don't have a different opinion than you guys on this one. It's a fine song, but I'd forgotten how good the Foreigner song was.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Just listening, I was listening to Foreigner 4 during breakfast this morning to kind of just get ahead a little bit. And it's fantastic as a song goes.
Yeah. All right.
What was your breakfast?
I made scrambled eggs, some English muffins.
Nice.
Strawberries.
Wow. All
right. A little coffee.
A little effort. Good. I like it.
Anyway, keeping it healthy. He just didn't pour a bowl of Captain Crunch.
Frosted mini wheats. Frosted mini wheats. There's bran in there.
All right.
And it's healthy.
Bran disguised myself by lots of sugar.
I like a nice raisin bran myself.
It's all right.
It's healthy.
Go for that.
All right. I haven't had any breakfast today. I just woke up and turned this thing on, and here we are. You guys are both ruining my appetite. Okay.
You had to do your hair.
I had to do my hair. Parted from the back. Okay. Foreigner 4 against Journey Escape. Both albums came out in 1981. We're on track 4, kicking it off, Waiting for a Girl Like You from Foreigner. Going to pause just to interject. Foreigner fires their two keyboard players and then makes an album that maybe has more keyboard than the other three albums.
It's Thomas Dolby.
I know, but I mean, they had two good keyboard players. Okay, here we go. right. Waiting for a Girl Like You is going to go up against Keep On Running. All right, much like last time, we have a straight-up rocker against a ballad, and I'm going first, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Right? Yeah.
I wish this running order was different, because if Waiting for a Girl Like You was against Who's Crying Now, it would have been easy. I would have gone with Waiting for a Girl Like You. This matchup, I mean, I love Waiting for a Girl Like You. It's classic Foreigner ballad, but I'm going to go with Keep On Running, because I've always loved that song so much. Get Me By the Hour by My Blue Collar. I mean, I just love everything about that. That feels like, you know, the weekend's coming, you know, I just Keep On Running for me.
Well, to me, Keep On Running, I don't know if it's the production or what, Keep On Running to me sounds like a band that's trying a little too hard to rock.
Okay.
You know,
whereas like, Stone in Love, it was just seemed natural.
Stone in Love is perfect. Stone in Love is perfect. And Keep On Rocking just kind of is like a little over the top. Like they're really trying. I don't know if it's the sound that makes you feel this way too, but like, because they're certainly up to the task. It's not like, I mean, Perry at the time, it's not like he wouldn't have to strain for anything.
No.
Waiting for a Girl Like You to me is that kind of perfect Foreigner ethereal. Is ethereal a word?
Ethereal?
Ethereal?
I don't know.
Wow. Now I'm embarrassed. I think so. Or I'm going to have to look that one up, but.
What are you even trying to say? How are you trying to say that?
It's got that kind of earthy, you know, yeah,
mystical.
Like, it's like a dreamy, mystical sound and feel to it.
I'm at the high school dance. I'm waiting for that song to come on.
Exactly. And yes. And matter
I cannot
of fact,
ask
I think
anyone
I,
to
I think
dance.
I may have actually, I think I may have actually lived that very situation. So for me, it is definitely Waiting for a Girl Like You. And I'm looking up the definition of ethereal.
All right.
Or ethereal, or who the hell knows.
There's no tiebreakers here, but should we ask Dave what he thinks or not?
We already have. Well, he's creeping me out when I'm watching him sing along. He's like into it.
I don't like either song.
That's great.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I agree with you about the Journey song and Waiting for a Girl Like You. I get it. It's a classic 80s ballad, like perfect for a high school dance. I think it's overplayed and it just bores me after a while.
But I hate the overplayed argument. I hate it because it's not their fault or the song's fault that it was overplayed. So why does the song have to take a hit? Because DJs across the country or radio stations overplayed.
I just think it's boring.
Okay, there we go. That's better.
How
you don't think it's ethereal? You don't think it's ethereal?
Hey, yeah, smartass. Ethereal. Of or relating to the regions beyond the earth.
Wow.
So, yes, it's a word. Yes, I used it correctly. Suck it.
Suggesting
the heavens or heaven.
And yes, it's a tie. On that song.
There it is.
What's the score right now? Nice Dave.
Journey is still ahead. 5-3 right now.
All right, still close. We're only on track 5 coming up.
That is correct.
All right, here we go. Closing out side one of both of these albums, because they know how to sequence an album. They know how to put 5 songs on the side. They're not fucking around. This is Luann.
Oh, yes.
All right, Luann is going to go up against track 5 from Escape. I believe this was also a single, maybe the last single released from Journey Escape. Still They Ride.
Jesse rides through the night under the main street light. Riding slow. This old town ain't the same. Now nobody knows his name. Times have changed.
All right, Still They Ride. All right, my turn, right?
I don't know. Dave?
There's a pristine person.
It's Dave's turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. So sorry, Dave.
It's fine. I have a word for Still They Ride. I don't know if it's a word. It's certainly a sound. It's blech. That's awful. Ugh. Wow. Boring, formulaic, just terrible. And Luann is one of my favorite, like, deep tracks from Foreigner. It's got like a 50s feel to it. I love that song. This might, in this entire series, this might be the easiest choice for me. Luann, All Day Long.
All right. And I am right there with Dave Festini, because Still They Ride, I hate this song. I've never liked this song. It keeps Escape for me from being a 10 out of 10 album. I hate it. I've never liked it.
Especially coming off the previous track. Like,
I know. I mean, and to horrible, it closes the album out terribly.
Because
you just lift the needle up after 4. Or you skip it if it's a CD, at least I do. I'm just, and Traffic Lights, we get it. Yeah, they're touching on some of the same lyrically, what they talk about a lot. And Luann might be my favorite song on this album. It might be, it's in my top 3. I love,
it's great. It's
I
really
love
good.
Luann. And if you listen to my interview with Lou Gramm from Foreigner, you're going to get the story about Luann, and it makes you like it even more. So Luann, not even, it's, this is a knockout.
Yes. Yes, it is.
All
right. Sure.
Nice, Dave. What do you think about those two?
Agree with both of you.
Yeah. If you thought
the journey track is such a throwaway to end the first side.
Yeah.
Back when you put albums out, you wanted to close strong on the first side. So going into the second, it's like you almost regret having to flip the album over to go to the second side because you love the first side so much that you're just like, what if I scratch this song and like on the album itself so I don't have to listen to it?
Yep. And that's what Journey does with Frontiers. Side one of Frontiers is so front loaded that you don't want to flip over the album.
Yeah.
All right.
Except with one thing, the Luann, and I don't know the story, Pat, so I need to listen to the interview. The line, wait around for you after school, kind of creeps me out.
Well, I think that's sung from a person of the same age. Sure. I never thought that was creepy.
Okay.
The thing is about
from the perspective of the person singing.
Okay.
And, you know,
Here's the thing.
No implied physical contact. It's not like that terrible
Christine 16
song. Well, it's Kiss. What do you want? But I'm talking about the other one.
The Benny Mardona song?
Yes, that song. The Benny Mardona song.
Gross.
That thing is stomach turning.
Fair.
Here's the thing.
That's fair.
When Christine 16 came out, I was 13. So Christine to me is an older lady. You know what I mean? Think of, there's a 28-year-old singing about a 16-year-old. But and look, Foreigner has a creepy song on Head Games, and it's called 17. And that's a creepy song. Because it says she's just 17. Yeah, okay. Well, then you move on, old man.
Hot-Blooded 2 leans a little into, you know, than dance.
Yeah. So anyway, they all have them, but I never felt that with Luann. I felt like I wait around for you after school because I'm also in school.
Still a great song.
The difference between the Foreigner songs and the Kiss songs is that the Foreigner songs are good.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Right.
I'll give you that. Yeah. Who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because of that makeup, right,
Dave? You just went right there. It's because they probably paid them off.
Look, if Foreigner wore makeup or they dressed in karate outfits or something stupid, they'd be in there too. Okay. Yeah. Kiss is in because of the makeup. I'm sorry. The shtick.
No, certainly not for the lyrical content.
No way. And not even the music. All right. Here we go. Track 6, kicking off side 1. Strong. Both of these albums kick off strong on side 2. Foreigner kicks off with Urgent. Song's about a booty call, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Probably.
All right.
I've always felt like that song is if you were gonna write a story about the couple from Life in the Fast Lane, it would be Urgent and Life in the Fast Lane. They're lyrically, they're very thematic, they're very similar.
That makes sense. All right, Journey decides to kick it off with the title track, Escape. Thank you. I don't know if we're going to get to the chorus on that one either, but the song is called Escape, and they will say the word escape in the song. This is something I just noticed about these album covers. Both albums have the number 4 on them because Journey Escape is E5, right. C4, right. P3. So just something interesting I throw out there to make this fun. Okay. I like both of these songs, but I've always loved Escape. I thought it was a great way to kick off side two. It really rocks. Again, both of these albums kind of lean into a lot of story songs. And even though we didn't even get to the greatest part of Urgent, which is that sax solo. And again, listen to my interview with Lou Graham. He'll tell the story of recording that sax solo. It is amazing.
Yes, but it is.
For me, it's Escape. I love that song.
Nope.
No, it's not nope. That's my opinion. And my opinion is my opinion.
Well, my opinion is your opinion is terrible because, wow. Again, it's another like Journey's trying to rock again. Here we go. Like, I think it's the production too. I don't just feel so dated to me. And like, the guitars seem, I mean, like Neil's really trying to rock it out, but no way. Not a million years.
I like both songs. Great. So I won't argue your choice. I would never say nope. I would not argue your choice.
No.
But those two songs. I love both of those songs, but you know, at this listen, I'm picking Escape.
Urgent all the way, right. That Junior Walker sax solo. Like, fantastic. And you're like, yeah. And the way that Foreigner puts those saxophone solos in that, like, it's a different type of rock and they're putting the sax in, you know, you'd expect to hear it in like a Springsteen song or that sort of thing. It works. But for them to incorporate that instrument into this type of song, it works perfectly.
I can't argue with that. And I certainly wouldn't be dismissive of you.
Wow.
Like the way you were of me.
So, isn't it supposed to be a debate? No. Okay.
Well, I know a lot of the best debaters say no. Wrong.
Nope. Wrong.
Wrong.
You're wrong.
Loser. All right. What do you think, Nice Dave? Which one do you like better? It doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't count in the overall tally. But
that's,
I like
fair.
To.
That's fair. I'm just trying to get slammed for my opinion more than my mic quality this time around.
Sound great. Your mic sounds terrific.
Urgent is my favorite. Urgent's my favorite song on this album.
But then there you go.
Urgent is easily my favorite song on the album.
There you go. So, what's the score?
As it should be.
All right. Easy there. Maybe. So relax. It is tied at 6 right now.
There we go.
All right.
Now we're talking.
That's pretty great. That's good. That's good. It makes sense.
A tie score, a little more than halfway through.
Yeah, these last four matchups are really going to be determining what happens here. Also, people stop emailing me telling me you want to get involved in these episodes. I got my team. They're right here today. Okay. Everyone's like, I'd like to do one of those. Would you? Maybe I'll offer that up as a Patreon prize. Maybe I'll do one.
Okay.
A person could win to do one. And then and Festini would sit in and keep score on that one. Sorry, Nice Dave. Unless he wouldn't want to. But maybe that's what I'll do down the road, later on in the year. But right now, this is my team. I like Nice Dave. And then, of course, we heard why Evil Dave is evil with his nope. All right.
With my dismissive opinion.
Here we go. I'm really curious how this one's going to play out. Track 7, I'm going to win. Versus track 7, well, I'm not going to say it. You'll hear it in a minute. Here's Foreigner, I'm gonna win.
City. And my prospects looking
Let's see if Lou Gramm is right. Let's see if he's going to win because he's going up against Lay It Down. The odd numbers, that's when Dave Festini gives his opinion first. Here we go.
This is closer than I would have thought it would have been for me. The Lay It Down, it kind of like it jumps back and forth from what I expect Journey to be to like when he's hitting those super high notes, like they almost carry over into hair metal territory in that section of the song. Yeah. That Journey, it's okay. But I'm Gonna Win, I think, is where it's one of the weaker songs on Foreigner 4. I still like it though. So I'm gonna go with I'm Gonna Win.
All right. I like I'm Gonna Win too, but it is one of the weaker songs on Foreigner 4. But I like a song that's about like, you know, like I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know what I mean? I do like, you know, I do like the sentiment.
And it's also got a nice ramp, right? Like,
yeah,
starts out with that groove. And then once you hit the chorus, it's like, you know,
yeah,
hits you. I'm going to win. I'm going to do this.
But, Lay It Down just puts me in a time and place, and it's, and when he does that vocal run, like it's just crazy. Like, it's insane. And I mean, and the lyrics aren't great on some of these lines. You know what I mean? Come on, you know,
right.
Rhythm and blues, shake me loose. It's like, okay, not the greatest lyrically, but I do like Lay It Down better. So not two songs I'm going to fight a lot for, but I do like Lay It Down better. Nice, Dave. Which one? Give us a tally and then tell us what one you prefer.
Tally right now, we are tied at 7.
Oh, man.
Well, you guys split that one, right? So you split
it. We did. Split it.
We are tied at 7. I don't really have too strong of an opinion on this one. I like the sort of soulfulness of the Foreigner song.
Yeah.
The Journey one is fine for me. It's fine. If I had to pick, I would pick the Foreigner one, but it's not by a lot.
Gotcha.
And I don't think we've mentioned up until this point that like two of the greatest voices in rock music too.
Yep.
But you know, of that era with Lou Gramm and Steve Perry.
Yeah. And Lou Gramm can rock, and then he can sing a ballad too. When Steve rocks, still kind of the same voice. Like Lou has kind of two voices. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
I do like that. I do like that. I like that with my Robin Zander from Cheap Trick. He also has a couple different voices he can use.
Sorry, did you say my
Robin Zander? My guy, my crush. Okay. Let's talk about Mick Jones versus Neil Sean. Mick Jones can come up with a riff and a hook. And Neil Sean is just a master at soloing.
Yes, that's
the
difference.
That's the difference to me. But almost every Foreigner song that's a hit opens with just a classic guitar riff. Like you could put those together, and it's just amazing. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. That's a great description of the two of them. I totally agree.
Those songs are built for live in concert, right? Where like the crowd is starting to go crazy and like that guitar riff kicks off the song and people are like,
yes, I know exactly what this song is.
Right. Mm. Right.
And then Neil's for in the middle of the song where he goes out to the front of the stage and solos.
Well, but I mean, give him a little bit like Stone in Love starts off with one of
sure
those.
It does. Sure. It does. Riffs,
so
yeah. Sure. It does.
He buzzed it himself in there.
Yeah. All right. I want to try to figure this out. Like Mick Jones, his guitar is the song and Neil Sean's guitar services the song. Does that make sense? You know what I'm trying to say?
I see where you're coming from. Yes. Especially with in the later Foreigner stuff, like after this album, mm-hmm. even after Agent Provocateur, like, those opening guitar riffs may have softened a little, like earlier Foreigner for sure.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying where, you know, the Neil Sean stuff is kind of part of it. And the Mick Jones riffs are the foundation.
The foundation of the song. Yeah. Yes. Okay, good. Thank you for clarifying that. Track 8 versus track 8. Let's start with Foreigner 4 and a song called Woman in Black. Woman in Black is going to go up against, and I just want to say this. When I bring these songs up, I have my iTunes scrunched down so much that I'm not seeing all the songs. I only see the two we're playing because I don't remember the order of these albums either. So I want to be surprised when I bring up the next two. So I just want to tell that for the audience and for you, Daves. All right. This is Journey, Dead or Alive. We'll be right back. All righty. I guess I'm first. I love Dead or Alive. I mean, it just, that's a treadmill tune. It just rocks from beginning to end. With Cold Steel Magnum Force is how the man possessed the skill to kill the Woman in Black. Woman in Black, I like. It's a little long, 4 minutes and 46 seconds. It plods along a little bit for me at times. I do like it, though. But head-to-head against Dead or Alive, it's Dead or Alive all day long for me.
I like Dead or Alive. And to me, this one works. Yeah. Where the other harder songs from them feel like they're trying a little too hard, this one, for whatever reason in my mind, really works. The Perry vocal is great. You know, it chugs right along. This is another one that's tougher for me.
Yeah. Another good bass line in this one too. Again, I'm never hearing this bass before until today on these songs. It's weird.
Woman in Black, you know, it's like on cue, it starts out with the guitar riff, right? Everything we just talked about. It happens in the beginning of that song. I like the groove of Woman in Black. I like that it almost like kind of like paints a picture, right? This wasn't a single, but I can imagine the video that would have been done to this song.
Right.
It's tough. This was a tough one. But I just love that. I love that Mick Jones, Rick, I think it's Rick Wills at this point on bass there. Yep. I love the groove in the beginning of that song. It's Woman in Black for me.
All right. Another tie. What do you think? Dave.
So we're at eight. We're at eight all, Dave. If you were
eight all still.
Eight.
Oh boy.
I like Dead or Alive better. I agree with Dave that this is a tough one, but Dead or Alive also has, there's sort of a new wave feel to it for 1981 kind of like, I really like it. And you could have thrown a saxophone solo in this song and it would have fit right in beautifully in a weird way. Like it felt like somebody's going to slam me on this one, but it almost felt like an early Huey Lewis in the News song, just a little harder. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know how much love, you know, it's Pat loves Huey and then Lewis in the News.
Anyway.
What do you think of these album covers? I gotta be honest. Foreigner 4 is a perfect album cover for me.
And it wasn't the original cover.
No. There's a whole, you can go online and find out what the cover was going to be. I think Hypnosis was doing it.
Right.
But this is just so simple. I mean, I don't know if kids nowadays would know what that 4 is from. Like when you would watch. But it's perfect. And if you want to get an album signed, this is the one.
Yeah.
Yep. And I have Lou signed mine and I use a blue Sharpie because I like how that pops. But this album cover is just, it's so good. I love it.
You know, an autograph seeker when he has his favorite Sharpie color.
Yeah, it's blue. And I find that the blue doesn't fade. I have some albums on the wall right now where the black is fading, but the blue does not fade. So there's a tip. Journey Escape. I also like this album cover. I like that they did the E5, C4, P3 as kind of like the serial number on the side of the spaceship. Escape, that pod is escaping from whatever. It's very colorful. It's a good album.
I think on the actual vinyl, I think it was embossed.
It was embossed.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is always cool.
So both of these albums had inner sleeves with the lyrics. I don't think any band photo of Foreigner though on this anywhere.
No. On the inside, it's just the background on the cover without the number.
Yeah.
I think one side of the page is black and the other side of the page is red. I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that, but I don't think there's any pictures.
But between the two, the simplicity of Foreigner 4, I think it's fantastic. And just the red font there at the top. So good.
Oh, and it's the fourth album, and there's only four members left.
It all works. All right, boy, here we go. Track 9. Foreigner, Girl on the Moon.
Girl on the Moon.
right. Girl on the Moon is going to go up again. This is weird. We had a girl on that song, and in this song, we have a mother and a father. This is Mother, Father.
Face she wears. Where did she go wrong? The fight is gone. Lord help this broken home. Hey, mother, father, sister.
All right, Dave Festini.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, Girl on the Moon again. You know, the second half of this album, especially, you know, the latter part of it, kind of takes a slower, not as hard rocking.
Yeah.
Foreigner 4, that is.
Yeah.
But I like Girl on the Moon. Again, it's got kind of a spacey feel to it. No pun intended, given the fact that it's a girl on the moon. It's probably deliberate. Mother, Father is kind of epic. I mean, epic in its presentation, not in its place in music history. But, right. you know, the Perry vocal. I mean, let's face it. Perry could sing the alphabet and it would be, you know, the best alphabet you ever heard. I'm going Mother, Father on this. I'm going to surprise myself, and I'm going to go Mother, Father.
And you use the word I was going to use. This is an epic Journey song. For the band Journey, this is epic. It just builds, and yeah, it's Mother, Father all the way. It's such a great song. One of my favorites on the album. Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this, Dave. Between the girl songs on Foreigner, we have two songs that have girl and a song that says woman in the title, but do you like Waiting for a Girl Like You, or do you like Girl on the Moon? Of those two, which one do you like?
Oh, Waiting for a Girl Like You. Definitely.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice day. Are you happy with the choice of Mother, Father?
I am. Yeah. I think Pat, you pointed out the build of the song and that chorus hits and just, man.
Yep.
It just hits you like it just hit. It kind of hits you right here, which nobody can see me pointing at.
Yeah. At your heart.
At my heart.
I like your heart, right?
It's sort of like a hidden hit on the album that never really got released as a single, that just one that you probably want to hear in concert with. And when they pull that one out, if they ever pulled that one out, you were like, oh, my God, this is so great to hear this.
I think he's not the drummer anymore. Right. But Dean Castronovo, didn't he sing that?
He's back in the band again.
Oh, is he? Yeah,
he does sing that. Yeah.
Okay.
Dean Castronovo, I like that guy, but he's a convicted spousal abuser. He's had some rough stuff, which taints it for me, but he's a talented guy. I wish he wouldn't have, done some horrible things.
Yeah, he sounds like Perry too when he sings that song. It makes you really wonder why they never just tapped him to be the singer.
Well, he fronts a band called Revolution Saints.
Right.
Yeah. You know, with Jack Blades and Doug Aldrich. And then they have a fourth album coming out. Blades and Aldrich aren't there anymore, but it's Jeff Pilson on bass from Foreigner. Joel Hoekstra. Am I saying it right?
I think so. He was in Night Ranger for a while.
And, yeah, he's on guitar with the new lineup, but I digress. Also, I would have to really look at these Mother, Father lyrics, but it feels like like when lightning strikes the family, it feels like it's about maybe a parent passing. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what the lyrics are about, but have faith, believe. And, you know, it's a good song about family.
Yes.
I think. I don't know.
All right. I
don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Final two tracks. Here we go. Starting with Foreigner. Track 10 is Don't Let Go. Right, Don't Let Go from Foreigner is going to go up against a song that I believe we first heard on the heavy metal soundtrack. This is Journey's Open Arms.
Lying here in the dark, feeling your heart with mine. Softly you whisper, you're so sincere. How could our love be so blind? We sailed on together, the trip.
All right, I go first. Boy, I got to be honest. When I started playing Don't Let Go, I thought I had a clear winner because Foreigner opens and closes this album. You know, they bookend it with Nightlife and a nice rocker at the end. And I really thought I was going to pick Don't Let Go because in my brain, I felt that Open Arms is like just a sappy ballad. But when it hits that crescendo and the chorus, I was all in. So right here and now, I never thought I was going to pick it, but I'm picking Open Arms.
For me, this is a no contest battle. Say what you will. Everybody feels differently about sappy ballads, but when they made the sappy ballad, they put Open Arms at the top of the heap.
Yeah.
And everybody else try and match it. It is one of the best sappy ballads ever. And when I say that, I mean it with all respect. You know, sappy has a negative connotation, fine. But as a love song and a rock ballad, Open Arms is it. Everybody else, give it a shot. And I've never been a, I don't know, the chorus of Don't Let Go is great. But before the chorus, it's just kind of like, it almost sounds like one of the earlier songs on the album.
Yeah, a little generic.
In my head. So to me, it's a no contest. Yeah. Open Arms is one of the greatest, in its genre, it is one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, and when those drums kick in on the core, yeah. I mean, it almost becomes not a sappy ballad for a little bit. And just the, I come to you with open arms. I mean.
Yeah. It's great. His voice is great. The music is great. Like, there's nothing, you can't touch it. For what it is, you cannot touch it.
No, I agree. And I really thought, I'm like, oh, Don't Let Go. I fucking love that song. And then Open Arms came in and I was like, oh no, I'm sorry.
I feel like we've got a leader. I feel like we have a leader now.
I think we have a leader. Dave. Nice, Dave. What about you on the last two songs?
You know, the Foreigner song is a really strong song for the last song on an album. You're like, because a lot of times bands will just throw that last song on. Just
wait, that's the last song? I thought you said we have two more.
No, this was track 10.
Oh my God.
That's it,
oh
my friend. That is it.
And how ballsy to close out with a ballad too. Isn't that ballsy?
Yeah. Because
that should be like the third song or the you know,
That should be where Who's Crying Now is.
No. When you know that you have hit a grand slam with a ballad like that, I have no problem with closing an album.
All right.
I'm not saying I don't disagree with that point. I'm saying with your classic ballad, you want that as you've got a rock song, a semi-rock song, and then a ballad, and then you go back to a rock one. It's like building a baseball lineup, like you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Right? You want like a strong three hitter, and this is a strong three hitter as it comes.
Yeah, like Open Arms almost feels like it should be in that third spot where Who's Crying Now was.
Yep.
But it works here. It works.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, nice, Dave, you like Open Arms better.
Yeah, I'd pick it. Yeah.
All right. Which album is coming out on top? Doesn't mean it's a better album. It just means that this is, I mean, what are we trying to do with this? This is just what we came up with, what we like. Well,
yeah, right. I mean, it's obviously it's our opinions, but it is a fight. It is a battle.
Yep. Yeah. Now, Dave, coming in, without listening to these, which album did you think you liked better?
I thought for sure, and I want to hear what the breakdown is vote for vote, but I thought for sure it was going to be Foreigner 4 for me because I love Foreigner. I almost didn't feel like it was fair because I have such an affinity for Foreigner that I thought it would, you know, cloud my vision or my hearing.
That's what I like about this show. Now you guys can't see the video, but when, you know, when a song plays and you see the other guys, like I can see Dave's face and he's like, oh no, I wasn't going to pick this song, but now I think I'm going to pick this song. So, okay. Give us the scores. What's the score?
The winner with a total of 12 votes to 8 votes is Journey over Foreigner.
Wow.
12-8.
Wow. It's a big margin.
Wow.
Well, it's the last two songs that pushed it over, right? You were tied up to the last two songs.
I mean, I wonder if different sequencing could make Foreigner win. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Well, what was the breakdown, Dave?
So Journey. All right, so Journey started off strong, right? Had the first two songs from both of you.
Yeah.
Foreigner had the next third song was Foreigner for both of you. Then we had a split on the fourth song. Fifth song was both of you picking Foreigner. Then we did splits all the way down to the last two songs.
And then we were the same.
So how did it break down individually? Like how many Pat voted for how many Journey songs? Versus how many Journey? You know what I mean?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 votes for Journey for Pat. Dave, you had 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 votes for you.
All right. So I voted for more Foreigner.
You voted for more Foreigner, which, to your point, you had said, I like the Foreigner album better coming in, then it makes more sense that you voted for them.
All right. That was a good, that was a good versus episode.
It was great. That was great. I mean, when you got a tie score, you know, with 2 songs left. It's a good one.
Should we tease what the next one's going to be? You might not even know. You guys might not even know, but here's what I've chosen.
Okay.
And again, you know, you guys can choose too, but so far I haven't let you. But here's what I thought would be a great one. We're going to lean into some prog pop. And we're going to go. And look, if you're getting this episode ASAP Club, please do not
yes, mention. Do not reveal
this.
The outcome.
Do not reveal the outcome, and do not reveal what the next lineup's going to be. If you can. We're going to go the debut album from Asia against Yes 90125. Because both of these albums.
No. Did you fall into that trap?
What? I'm reading it.
90125. Are you?
Yes, I'm reading it from Wikipedia. 90125.
It's 9021. You said 90125.
That's what it is. 90125.
You said, wait a minute.
Did I say it wrong the first time?
No, you said it right.
90125. I never remember the title, so I know I'm reading. So that's why I read it.
And what's the show?
90210.
Oh, all right. 90125, 9021. Okay, yeah, it is 90125. All right.
Both albums brought prog rock to the mainstream pretty much.
They share some member. Well, they share members because
it happened because Yes was in disarray and some people broke off and went to Asia, and then members came back to Yes, John Anderson in particular, the singer, and they came out a year apart, 82, 83, but they both have 9 songs. And I think that's
I'm looking forward to this one.
I think that's going to be a fun one.
I won't reveal either way, but this is another one where I feel like going in my head,
right,
one is a clear winner.
But you never know.
But you never know.
And they are, and they are both strong classic albums of the time period. So I'm excited.
Oh, definitely. I just saw yesterday on Twitter. Oh, who was it? Who's the guy? Is it Greg Ranoff? Is that his name? The guy, he wrote a Van Halen book.
Yeah. But, I think that's his name.
He posted an alternate version of the Owner of a Lonely Heart video. Because you remember that video on MTV was kind of weird. It was like different. There's an alternate version that is awful. It's the band on this crazy set. Yeah, you have to look it up.
I'm going
to
find it.
You probably searched alternate, version Owner of a Lonely Heart video. You'll probably find it. It's so strange.
All right. I want to shout out to Kyle Hildreth, who does the artwork for these episodes, the Versus episodes. I want to thank Dave Festini, and I want to thank Dave Schneier for keeping score. And
thank you.
And getting a mic. That was big. Appreciate that. Dave, how much did you drop on that mic?
What did I drop, Dave? About $40 on it, something like that.
$40-$50. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say to all the musicians who are loaded that when I interview you on Zoom and you don't have a mic, it's sad because Dave has a mic. $40. It sounds fine. I mean, it sounds good. It sounds good, Dave.
$40. I got it the next day. I literally ordered the day after we recorded the last one.
Yeah.
And it comes with the arm, right?
Comes with the arm.
Yeah.
Want to give a shout out to that brand?
Oh.
Who is it?
Product placement.
On the front of the mic, Dave. It's on the front of the mic, I think.
There we go. Fifine. Fifine.
Fifine. Fifine. It's the same mic that I'm using. That's why.
Fine.
So you're using the same one too, right, Dave?
I asked him which one he used, and he told me that one. And I said, well, let's
one
get
of you,
it.
Evil Dave has a screen on his, and you don't have the screen on yours.
I didn't put it on today.
All right. It sounded good. I didn't put it on today.
Next time.
The first time I used it, I didn't use the screen.
Look, I'm just
next
getting into this.
Next up, a larger pad of paper.
A spreadsheet next time.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for doing this. The playout song will be some type of a Journey song. I don't know what, but it'll be something Journey since they won. And we'll see you next time for Asia versus Yes. Thanks, guys.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, you.
Yep. All right.
Take care. Okay, hold on. I'm going to blow my nose. Wow. Nice.
Yeah, it says impressive.